Welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from a family perspective. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro. Hello, Julia Barbaro here, host of the Julia and Gino podcast, co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hi, Julia. How are you doing?
I am great.
Today's guests are Ryan and Dr. Francesca Byrne, founding partners of Cashflow Capital Club. CCC, alliteration, I like that. They met in 2002 through Ryan's sister and have been married since 2010. Knowing firsthand how hectic of life can be with their three jobs, three beautiful children, a new puppy now, from what I heard, and over 1,500 doors in commercial real estate, Ryan and Francesca became compelled to help each other working professionals build generational wealth. Welcome to the show, Ryan and Francesca.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So take me back to the conversation that you had with Julia. And I think that's important about leaving California or thinking about leaving California.
Yeah, we had made or wanted to change our environment, change our situation, change kind of where we wanted our family to be, and had made a decision or had a thought of what that would look like. And it was sort of a thought that you wrestle with, and it's an idea in your mind, but when it comes to the actual execution to make a move happen, it was very I don't know, stressful, or like, how do we make this work? Is it going to move? Where are we going to move? Mm-hmm. We don't have a job where we're going to move. We're leaving a job. We're leaving our relationships. We're leaving friends. We're uprooting our kids. And I, in that process, as we were thinking about it, someone offered up an introduction to Julia, mentioned that she specializes in working with couples.
Mm-hmm. Through big changes.
Said, I love how my husband's laughing really hard. Like, I'm not sure what I'm thinking right now.
Keep going. You know, a couple's mentor or a coach or however you want to talk, it was completely foreign to us. I scheduled the call with Julia and I said, hey, we're going to have a conversation with someone. I want you to meet. And like, who is this person? It's like, let's just see what happens. It's basically.
Yeah.
So Francesca, what did you think of? I mean, like, you're going to get on a call with somebody and you're like, what am I getting myself into? What was that thought process for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There definitely was some skepticism and, you know, like you said, who, what, but I'm very, you know, open-minded. And I said, this is something that we need and are requesting clarity on. And it's a big decision. And sometimes having some outside eyes on it or just those words of encouragement can be really helpful. Because for me, like Ryan said, it was something that we had talked about. It was this idea, but I couldn't wrap my head around how to go from step A to step B with our jobs, with our kids, with everything. And it was definitely a stressful time for me, you know, and I work in medicine. I see stressful things every single day, but this part of it was keeping me up at night for sure.
That's the crazy thing though, Francesca, you're in medicine, you see stressful things. And yet something like this, if you really take a step back, and I want the listeners to really understand this, if it didn't work out, you could always move back. And I think I went through the same thought process of, if I mess up, my wife even gave me the out of going, we can even move back to your mother's basement. So I was like, that was done purposely
with intention.
Yeah, so that means I can't fail with this. Yeah. But if you really stop and think, everybody, and you want to make a life-altering decision, if it doesn't work, you can always go back to where you came from. But I think the regret of not trying it, I think, you know, years down the road, it's like, wow, I wish I had tried that. So,
well, I want to get to the next part, because that's what we were talking about before we got on, was we all have these ideas. We all have these hopes that, you know, we want to leave our area, but you actually did it, which is very unusual these days. Cause a lot of us, we want to do things, but we don't have that backup. So take us, continue on that journey.
So we knew a move would be beneficial for us and our family. And then every time we're trying to plan it, it was a question of how are we going to do this? What about this? I don't have this. Mm-hmm. Like, where are the finances? You're leaving your job. I'm leaving my job. Are you going to be able to start a new real estate thing in Dallas? How long is that going to take us? Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of like preparing for every single roadblock that wasn't really there, but we're just, you know, how do you prepare for the worst outcome in every situation when mm-hmm. none of those outcomes have presented themselves necessarily? Yeah. And then something magical happened when we had our conversation with you, Julia. You asked us a series of questions, and in that answering those questions came clarity, mm-hmm. intention, made us affirm mm-hmm. what we were doing.
Say it out loud.
Saying out loud.
For the first time, kind of.
Or sharing it. I think you even suggested, have you shared this with anyone right. yet? Have you shared? It was like, no. It's like, when are you going to? How are you going to?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of gave us a better roadmap of how to approach. I think, and after that conversation, it was kind of settled. It's like, we're moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
We've done these moves before, and we're going to make it work.
And let's.
Well, what questions did she ask you specifically? Do you remember any questions specifically?
You know what? We had a notebook somewhere with it. I think
we were writing things down. Why? Well, why do you want to move?
Mm-hmm.
What are the benefits of moving?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, and you did, Julie, ask me some of what the hesitation was on my part, or not hesitation, but, you know, and I kind of went through that with just the fear of the unknown, which it was nice to hear you validate that, but also, you know, recognize that that's normal, and that we can all push through those feelings, you know, when there's a greater cause at the end of the road for it. So.
Yeah. And it was another question was, have you told each other that you're moving? I think that was, we're moving, right? Yes, we're moving.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we even got that far.
No.
Which was, you know, interesting, I guess. And then after that conversation, I mean, it was just sort of, we were on a path. That was it. I mean, we were on a path, and once you're on that path, the ball is rolling at that point. And one way or the other, we were going to make things work, and things worked. Things started falling into place because we were mm-hmm. focused on that.
Ryan, what did your family members and Francesca, what did they say when you mentioned it to them? Because for us, we had some, I don't say negative feedback, but like, you're leaving my family and I can't believe
that's
it.
Pretty negative.
I'm just saying it was interesting the what we got. It wasn't all positive, but it ended up great because now a lot of them followed us down here, ironically. Yeah. You know, we fell on the sword first and then they followed after us.
It came mostly from our children, our daughter specifically. But our parents were in California. They're living in Colorado. So there wasn't the family separation as far as that, but yeah. we did have friends. It's like, oh, another one. Yeah, we know people, they moved and now they're talking about coming back, and you know, that kind of mm-hmm. mentioned that sort of thing, but nothing like, oh, really? Why? How? When?
Mm-hmm. Wow. We got a lot of support, I think.
I think so. We had a deal with our daughter who was 10, who was sort of emotionally mature mm-hmm. enough, and she was entering into the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, you know, we were staying super positive for her,
mm-hmm.
especially. But, you know, that worked out too. I mean, as soon as we planted our feet here, we got her involved and enrolled, and she fell right into place. As soon as the activity mm-hmm. started, we found an excellent school. School took her in, the teachers took her in, friends took her in, and that was it.
Our young
the unknown is so scary. It really is. And I for myself, for my husband, for all the kids, I hear you. And there's so many people out there that desire to do something, and just like you said, which is kind of it you ask, you didn't even really ask each other or tell each other you're moving. You know, it's almost like you're both thinking about this separately, but together, you know, you knew each other, but you never actually said, this is what we're going to do. And I think that's even to other people. Hey, by the way, we're actually thinking of moving. And because once you do that, all of a sudden now people are asking and they're like, oh, well, how's it going? Have you looked?
Yeah.
And so now they're almost holding you accountable for it. So I think secretly, I think sometimes when we have an idea or we're trying to accomplish something, we don't tell people because then they'll hold us accountable. And it's like, okay, this is real.
Yeah.
Do you think that was the case?
Yeah, definitely. It forced us to start taking action at that point. Like, oh, where are you going to work? It's like, oh, that's something I need to get on. It's like, oh, do you have your real estate license over there? It's like, I'm signing up for it right now, that sort of thing. And I think the move too is, when you add the new, when you add the unknown, and once you make a decision on that, it kind of gives you a recharge. It gives you a sense of energy, a new adventure, some excitement that gives you the motivation and the push to really do things. We're doing things now that are way beyond where we were a year ago, professionally, personally, everything.
That's awesome. Yeah.
What? Tell us a little bit. I'm sorry.
I need to ask Ryan this question really quick. I've heard you say that Julie's magical and that she's an expert. How much did she pay you to say that? That's really what I want to know. Because those two words in a podcast, that's pretty powerful stuff right there.
Usually,
magical.
You are the one that usually
use some
gets
magic
the
on me, baby. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What was your question? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm curious how, because I know that when Gino and I decided to move and really, it takes a lot in the relationship to be on board and to actually, like you said, take action. And you're putting yourself out there both together in the unknown. You have children, which is a new, it's not just the two of you. I'm curious how your relationship changed, because it has to have changed from last year to this year. What have you noticed? Like, how have you grown together as a couple?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it definitely has made us stronger. Anytime you go through big things, it does. But we've always kind of been really good partners and teammates in that. And anytime there's a problem or something to solve, it's like, okay, we got to find this house. We got to find schools. Okay, you call this place, I'll do this. We're very good at kind of delegating roles and just tackling things that come on. But I think this was the first time we've done it to such a big scale. it's definitely, I think, made us stronger.
And I think moving successfully and being in a new environment that put us in a better situation gave us a lot of gratitude for what we have,
And that we're able to move, and that we are able to have this vision and then manifest it and make it happen, Definitely.
And gratitude and appreciation and just reflecting on that is, has benefited me personally. I think our relationship together, it's always been at the forefront. I think about the move and I think about, Francesca being my wife and her role as, professionally and as a mother and our kids. And it's just like you get filled with gratitude and it brings a certain peace and energy that I think that makes working together easier. It gives a,
I should have asked you guys this question earlier, and maybe you don't have a seminal moment, but I'll share mine, and then I want to get you also you guys have an idea to think back. For me, I decided to move. It was February of 2014. It was the first time I heard the word photo cyclone bomb, whatever it was. It was like 6 degrees outside during a day in New York. The pipes are freezing in the kitchen. I'm literally on my hands and knees with a blow dryer, hair dryer, like thawing out the pipes. It was just miserable. I had long johns on. I'm like,
it was,
and you never got
it
back.
That.
Yeah, nice little red hair dryer.
He hears about it. That was like my high school hair
dryer. I'm sitting in the muck in the kitchen back there, and I'm saying to myself, I cannot take this anymore. And for everybody out there, that was February of 2014. We moved in June of 2017. So it literally took 3 years to see the vision. There was a lot of work. I had bought my first deal with Jake in February of 2013. The wheels were starting to move. It took me another 2 years before I left the restaurant and then an additional year. But that was my seminal moment. That's what I just said to myself. There's no turning back. I have to figure this out. was there a moment for each of you that said, I'm done with California, I'm done with the situation here? Do you have a story that you can share with us?
Yes, you know, I think so. It was a buildup of moments and grievances and sort of things that we weren't happy with, I wasn't happy with, and we would leave. I think the trips outside of California and then coming back and then kind of looking around at the environment and the state of things, and it's like, this is voluntary. Like, why are we complaining? Like, we're voluntarily here. Hmm. We moved there 10 years ago with staycation, and then you have kids and you get relationships and you have friends, and it's like, okay, I guess we're here. And then, you know, you start, I don't like complaining. I don't like whining. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I was being a whiner. And I was like, well, are you going to whine like this for the rest of your life? Or
welcome to my world. I'm a good whiner. Sounds like we make a good couple. Yeah. I can whine all I want. And that's what I was doing, Ryan. I was coming back from the restaurant every day whining. It's 5 degrees outside. Why is the winter so long? And why are taxes so high? And why is this and that? And then, like you said, sometimes we're brainwashed into thinking that we can't take control. And I was learning all about responsibility and being responsible for our lives and being responsible. And that's why there's 50 states, because you can actually move. I mean, but when you're a New Yorker or you're a Californian, it sort of becomes your identity. Mm-hmm. New Yorkers never leave. Like, you're going to die on that hill. Yeah. But then I said, you know what? A lot of people have done it before, and I want something better. I want to change. Mm-hmm. But it's really scary for that change to come about.
Especially when you have children. Yeah. And that's what you were in your situation. And same with us, because you're worried, well, what if they're, traumatized forever? And that's, of course, the mother, my gosh, they're going to be really messed up. But it's funny how that happens. And one of the things I noticed is you had mentioned, you know, try to stay positive with the kids and stuff like that. And I tried to do that. And at one point I was it was so depressing to be here for a little while that I was, because we didn't have anyone at Christmas time. No, we didn't really know anybody. Right. And I finally looked at the kids. I'm like, wow, this stinks. And they're like, Mom. I'm like, and it actually helps them to realize that we're actually having a hard time too.
Yeah.
You know, being in a new place is hard no matter what, even if you know people and it's familiar, just leaving home, that feeling of missing home.
And it's dad's fault, right? Because dad wanted to leave. And like, that's what you're thinking of. It's his fault.
I didn't do that, no. But it was actually helpful for them to realize that it's okay to be upset. It's okay to miss home. It's okay. But also at the same time, let's look at the area. Let's see who's here. Let's experience new things. So when it comes to your children, like, how did you get them to adapt? And were they quick about it? You mentioned one of your daughters had a hard time. You know, we had three. I mean, we had one that literally cried for probably 3 years. Mm. And she just kind of got over it, even though she kind of still misses it. But that's just her, you know, and I'm okay with it. We don't get mad at her or anything like that. But curious in your house.
We cheated a little bit. We kind of cheated. We mentioned that there was no possibility of having a dog in California.
Oh, that's what a dog comes
in. And so
we had
the carrot at the end of the stick a little bit. We were dealing with some things with our youngest, and like the timing is like never going to be right for this dog. It's like, why we're always so busy. Like, why are we going to do this to ourselves? And then it was kind of like, well, we kind of made a promise, and you know,
it helped
our daughters
sweeten the pie.
So, yeah, it did a little bit. So that was a little thing with it. But we, you know, we kind of communicated to our children. It's like, listen, you have a great personality. You've always made friends. Mm-hmm. You've changed. Mm-hmm. We changed schools back and forth 3 times because of trying to find schools that were open and in class. And
during COVID,
During COVID and trying to find a place for our 3-year-old that was a good environment and all of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that period, just going back to your question, does that time period during COVID was kind of a reset for us, because prior to that, we were kind of in this day-to-day rut, you know, you go through your routine without really like seeing the big picture. And then when that happened, you know, we were obviously home a lot more and had those times to have those big conversations like, okay, what are we doing here? But for our kids, I mean, we did the same thing you did. We recognized that, you know, they were going to miss some friends and they're going to be sad. But then we used that as an opportunity to say, well, this is how you're going to, you know, how it's going to benefit us. And, you know, go, let's go explore, you know, the aquarium, and let's go to the, you know, all these different places. And then once they got in school, at least for our daughter, the 10-year-old, that's when she made friends so easily, like we knew she would, but you know, when you're that age, it's hard to see that. Mm-hmm. And then got in, you know, the school play and, yeah, and her sports. And our two younger, you know, have a 4 and a 6-year-old at the time, and boys, and they were pretty adaptable. I mean, the only difference was a new house and their toys were gone for a few weeks, you know.
So they
did fine. Yeah,
I don't think they looked back once on the move, the younger ones. The school also had offered up a program. It was like an away camping adventure with your classmates, and Sydney saw that, and it was like this big water slide and all that, and she was so zoned into that, she's like, oh, I'm excited, you know.
Right.
So it took a little bit of exposure to the soccer program. We, you know, yeah, let's get stay busy. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, like, yeah, let's stay busy, let's stay, yeah, active. You know, the idle mind is the devil's playground, and the busy you are, the, mm-hmm, healthy you are, the more, you know, fulfilled you are. So getting busy and getting busy quick, both for us and, mm-hmm, and our kids,
yeah,
was something that we kind of embraced immediately.
Ryan, you and myself, we were very similar. You used the dog. I used the golf cart.
Okay.
So I had to bribe the children with the golf, yeah, cart. So it wasn't a pet. I figured, you know,
let me. It was an expense. I don't, when he said, you know, if you move down, we'll buy a golf cart. I'm like, ooh, do you know how much that
I didn't know how much that was. And it's recurring. It's every right. year. I got to pay the insurance. It's a street legal golf, yeah, cart. That's what we do in Florida, yeah, down here. And if you're like me, you probably love to work with your wife. How has that experience been, you know, being with the wife, you know, talking about the real estate, talking about your adventure? Share that story with me.
Yeah, that was, it was an opportunity there, as we built our business in the multifamily space. The more people we put these opportunities in front of, the more it was embraced. And mm-hmm. we realized there was kind of a moral imperative or an obligation, at least on my part, to share what we were doing with others. And Francesca was in a position to do that with people in her network. And that's how Francesca got mm-hmm. integrated into the business, is I guess you would call it business development mm-hmm. on that piece. So it started out as just sharing. We need to share the story. It's like, Francesca, mm-hmm. you know what we're doing. We've been investing our whole entire lives. You're active in the investments, at least mm-hmm. how it works. You're a busy professional. Other busy professionals can relate to you. We're extremely excited about the investments. The people that yeah. we put it in front are extremely excited about the investments. So it's sort of just, let's start sharing this with more people. And Francesca has taken on that role of,
yeah,
awesome. And you like Francesca? You love working together? Do you love that, the role that you've taken on?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a fun dynamic. You know, any challenges I meet with, you know, it's exciting too. Because in the beginning, I was kind of more in the background. I always was supporting Ryan and helping him out with things, and then kind of like listening in, hearing bits and pieces of things, and less active, I guess. And then the more I heard and learned, especially about the multifamily stuff, which I know you're really passionate about too, you know, I got to thinking, okay, I need to be more in the forefront, because I know so many busy professionals like myself that want to put their money to work and don't have time to do a lot of the things that that they're doing. And so it just made sense for me to be more, you know, in the front instead of in the background. And it's definitely been fun time.
That's awesome.
I'm curious how, because a lot of people ask this question, to a lot of the Jake and Gino community actually ask this, is how do you, you know, the both of you have your role in the company, and how do you stay in your lane?
So in other words, if Francesca sees a deal and she says, Ryan, that deal's not going to work, you're nuts. And Ryan's like, well, I'm going to go talk to the doctors.
Because you know each other so well, and you know how, so do you Sometimes Juno will talk as a worker. You know what I mean? Like, we're working. I'm like, hold on a second. I'm your wife. I'm making dinner right now. I don't want to talk about it. So it's hard sometimes when you're married and you're working together and you're trying to be polite when you're disagreeing about things and all of that. And so how do you do it? How do you make it work where you're working together?
I think it might be easier for our situation. Francesca's a full-time physician. There's only so much that she can do. The stuff that she does do is gravy on top of what's happening. Mm-hmm. So
Ryan, you're the mashed potatoes and she's the gravy. That's the picture that I'm getting.
Like the turkey, I think.
Yes. Okay.
Bacon and eggs, all right. Something like that, you know.
Yeah, it is a little easier because like the ins and outs, you know, he's where you go to, whereas I'm kind of more the big picture. Is this something you're interested in? This is how it works. And then if that answer is yes, then I get them in front of Ryan and we do a, you know, two to one or one on one. So it is a little bit easier because, like you said, I'm also still working full time. So.
But that's awesome, though. That's a great combination. And I mean, it's still challenging to work with because I don't know if you experience it, Ryan, and I'm sure a lot of times your wife is probably right and you're not. And it's very hard for the ego to say, man, she's right again. And it's hard to swallow that and say, okay.
Are you admitting?
Yes, I'm admitting. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm admitting on. Yeah, absolutely. Like sometimes we'll see something and be like, oh, should have done it that way. And it's very difficult to work with a spouse and all day. And sometimes it's teamwork. There's no I in team. Mm-hmm. Like I think sometimes as spouses, we may want to think of that we're competing against each other when we really shouldn't be. Because Francesca, what you're trying to do, Ryan said it's a moral imperative. I wrote that down. That's a really strong word. He must have been taking sales because when you think of something as a moral imperative, it's like your duty to do it. So you want to really share this great information and this share this opportunity. Then Francesca has people that she wants to share this with. So you want to make sure that you're sharing it to the right people and that you're sharing the right information. And you guys, unbeknownst to yourself, maybe, are creating this amazing brand, right? Like the physician and the multifamily investor combine and converge into one. Yeah. So you want to make sure that Francesca's having the right conversations and she wants to make sure that you're looking at the right deals. So sometimes it's very hard to stay in that lane because we're on a podcast. And we don't want to be, you make mistakes, I make mistakes, but it's very hard sometimes to actually admit that. So it has to be challenging sometimes because the frenetic pace that you have, the children, the deals, the way multifamily works, it's fast, but it's slow. It's the hardest thing to explain. Like you could wait a month for a deal and then you need to have money committed and you need to have a deal underwritten. You need to speak to a broker. So there are challenges with that, aren't there?
Yeah. And it's all beneficial because she adds a perspective that I'm not familiar with. You know, my background is in finance. I started with investment banking. I'm the analytical numbers underwriting machine. Francesca is our investor. She is our investor.
I'm the example.
If she doesn't understand what I'm doing, no one else I'm communicating to will either.
That's great.
She offers that balanced perspective of, you know, one of our mottos is to inform and enrich. Our investors are with us all the way.
Mm-hmm.
They know where the returns are coming from. They understand it because she understands it. And if I can explain it to her, she can explain it to the people that it benefits.
And sometimes, you know, he'll be talking or presenting to someone and he'll be using some terminology that I know, you know, me 5 years ago would not have understood that. And so I kind of am able to say, okay, time out. Do you understand what he means when he says X, Y, Z? And they say, not really. And then he's able to kind of re-explain that.
DSCR, you know.
Right. Which is common terms, you know, in this community, but to a lot of, you know, professionals, that's not the way they think or have typically thought of things. So,
well, they're not trained that way, man. And that's the thing. So if you're not trained that way, you know, it can be very difficult. Tell us about the capital company. Tell us about the company that you've created and, you know, what kind of deals you're looking at, what markets you're in, because you're going to be on the Movers and Shakers podcast as well. So we'll dive into all of that, but tell us about the company that you've created and what you guys are focusing on right now.
Cashflow Capital Club started with ourselves, our friends, and our family. And then we didn't know what the appetite would be. I got extremely excited for these investments, mm-hmm. and looked at it as an investor. And my enthusiasm and excitement definitely resonates to the people that we speak to. Mm-hmm. Because I was never exposed to these opportunities. I've been investing my whole life. My clients were, back in the day, were private equity and hedge funds. I didn't get to participate in those, you know, those activities. Mm-hmm. So there is an awareness that's not out there. There's lack of exposure. And it's kind of like we have this gift or this prize that we're eager to kind of share with other people just because it benefited us so much. It benefited us so greatly.
We saw what it could do.
And that's where that, you know, that sense of obligation comes from, of reaching out to as many people as we can to get them exposure into these assets. One, because they're extremely high performing and they have very low risk profiles. So we cherry pick the opportunities in the multifamily space and go for the lowest hanging fruit, which is the mm-hmm. operational value add, light lift, things that are very, very easy to understand when we walk you through the business plan of mm-hmm. what we're doing. And when people are looking at options, most people want to invest. They know it's good to invest. You have what's available out in the equities market, and good luck reading your 10Qs and your 10Ks and staying on top of publicly traded companies. Or maybe you're just kind of like looking at what Fidelity has to offer versus, you know, being a part of mm-hmm. a real cash flow generating business where you know the operators. I mean, we have great relationships with our investor. They can reach me on this any time of the day and walk them through each opportunity, what to expect, where we are.
Mm-hmm. Transparency, you know, we give a lot of transparency, and like you said, go through every single deal with as much or as little detail as people want. So
doing that, we've done syndications and offered up these opportunities in the form of limited partnerships with people who want to invest passively. Passive is the key, because a lot of real estate mm-hmm. options out there, the intention is to be passive. But mm-hmm. like you discover your Airbnb operation that was supposed to be passive income. You're running a one-man hotel with calls and capital expenditures, or you're in the car with your real estate agent every weekend trying to find this single family house. And now you're out in markets where you didn't want to be. And this package is ready, set, and you just mm-hmm. push the go button, and you're in real estate in a very meaningful, profitable way with mm-hmm. with a very low risk profile. So
that's excellent. My last question, I know Julie may have a couple more, but my last question, really, I want to pull it back to the very beginning. If I'm out there and I'm saying to myself, I'm struggling, I'm not sure how I just need a recharge or how I want to move from one state to the next, what would you guys say is the first couple steps that people need to do to take that next step to start deciding to go and leaving and doing what you guys did?
Well, I would, why not do what we did by accident and
call Julia,
have a conversation maybe with someone who's done it, who's been there and who's made the move, because that's part of the benefit in the multifamily network as well, is communicating and networking with people who have done it. It makes it that much easier, tangible, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, this can be done. This has been done before, and these people have done it. Well, why can't we do it? Mm-hmm. And I think that's extremely beneficial, is start having a conversation mm-hmm. With people, reaching out to people. Relationships have accelerated our growth, I want to say, personally and mm-hmm. and professionally. Who knows where we would be without having these conversations.
I think you just said something super important that I would love everyone to hear, is when we're unsure and we're trying to make a decision, it usually just stays in our head. Yeah. Say it out loud and then go talk to someone who's gone through it before. Yeah. Successfully. Yeah. And that's why I do love the whole Jake and Gino community, because everyone's very open and they'll tell you, you know, their difficult moments, the failures, all of that, how they, you know, got up again and tried it again. And to be, you know, it's who we go talk to. It's who we get our is our mentor is so important. And I don't think we realize how important that is.
Mm-hmm. Question? Is there a question?
There was no question.
No question in there.
Statement.
Okay. Yeah. Statement. I'm going to wrap this up. But before I wrap it up, where can the listeners get a hold of you guys? Website. If you want to throw out a phone number, you can throw out a phone number as well.
Yes. Give us a look at cashflowcapitalclub.com. We do an introductory video, explain what we do, and then you can request a membership on that website, and we'd love to have a conversation, see if what you're looking to do in real estate matches what we offer, and see if we're a good fit for partnership.
Excellent. I took some notes here, everybody, so I want to wrap this up. The first thing I wrote down is moral imperative. I love that. And inform and enrich. They've really worked on their brand identity. They've worked on their messaging, their mission statement, their core values. That's what's ultimately, I think, led to their success. And I think that's bled into their family life as well. They had values of like, this state does not align with what I'm doing. And once all of a sudden your values don't align, there's something going on inside of you. You don't feel right. And then that first thought is, okay, I don't feel right. What do I need to do? And if you're not clear on your values and what your mission statement is, it may be harder to make that decision, because we don't lack, I think, motivation. I think we lack clarity. And once you can get clarity, you will be able to take that motivation. I like the CCC, Cashflow Capital Club. That's a great name. I think success leaves clues. It's really important, everybody out there. If you want to become wealthy, don't go and ask your Uncle Bob, who has $10,000 saved up to his name. He's probably not the person you should be taking financial advice from. Go out and see people who've done it, what you want to do, whether it's investing in multifamily, whether it's moving to another state. I think having that conversation with somebody that's detached. You know, so Julia, the important thing about that is Julia had no emotional involvement or emotional stake to say, well, I don't want you to leave. Right. She was there just asking questions. We all have the answers inside of us. Yeah. She was able to pull out those answers by just asking you those open-ended questions. And I think the last thing I wrote down here is I didn't know my wife was a magician, so I'm going to call her Julia the magician from now on. So
there you go. You're welcome.
I have love your that. Magical moment and call it.
We go to Disney, baby. We go to Disney this weekend. That's what's going on. Yes. Guys, I want to thank you for being on the show. I really enjoyed the show. And for everybody out there, once again, it's cashflowcapitalclub.com. Go visit them. If you're a high-level professional, whether you're a physician, a lawyer, a CPA, you don't have the time to invest, go out and check out the website and see how these guys can help you, because it's morally imperative for you to do that. Don't let your money sit in the bank making 1% when you can be making a lot more money. Thanks, guys. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.